Welcome back. Look, I'm trying to up the production quality of this. Welcome back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. Yo, shout out to everybody that has shown up, man. I had a great day yesterday. Went out to Cat's Cafe. Shout out to Cat's Cafe. Went out, popped up, did a little bit of comedy. My buddy Chris Spencer called me. So I came out, I met him down because I wasn't going to go out. And that's why I didn't do the podcast yesterday. But I said, fuck it. Good friend of mine, Chris Spencer, writer, actor, comedian, called me out. So I hung out with the comics. A lot of comedians was there. It was a magical night, I must say. Even T.I. pulled up. Shout out to Tip. We roasted each other for about 40 minutes, but he had to realize who the master is when it comes to roasting, and that's all I'm going to say. But, yes, welcome back, everybody. We are here. We're in the building. I got a couple of things I just want to cover. It's a lot going on, man. It's really a lot going on in the world right now. And before I really get into this, I need y'all because, you know, I do this live. This is just me. This is called getting it out of the mud. I need to know if how do I sound? Does the sound good? Because I've been going through a lot just to get the sound right. When y'all do podcasts or you do any type of video, the most important thing is the sound. So the last show I did, I was having interference, like it was like a staticky type of computer noise in there that was just bothering me. So I had to do a lot of deep digging and research to figure out what was going on. So I figured that I had my soundboard, well, I had my laptop right on top of the soundboard, and I feel like that's where the interference was coming through. So good. It sounds great. So cool. Do the applause sound. When I do those, does that sound good? Can you hear that? Can you hear the applause, or does it sound muffled or something when I do the applause or sound effects? Can you tell me that, guys, as we dig in this together? I need y'all, man. Tell me how it's looking. Come on, guys, talk to me. Well, I'm guessing it's good. Did you hear the applause, y'all? Let me do it again. Did y'all hear that? You heard? Did you hear the applause, Justin? Justin, did you hear it? Listen. You didn't hear the applause. Shit. It's always something, man. Let me see if I can go to audio here. I'm just going to take this off. I might not need that. And I'll take that off too. I'm going to take all this shit off. Now let's try it again. Now do you hear the applause? Y'all hear it now? Did you? How that sound? Did y'all hear it? Josh. Josh from the YouTube world. Did you hear that? Y'all still didn't hear. Wow, I know what it is. I ain't going to worry about it. You know what? Because I got a noise filter on here to cancel out. Y'all can hear me, though, right? You just couldn't hear the sound effect. Hello? Can y'all hear me, though? Can you hear me? You can hear me. Forget about the sound effect. Can you hear me? Hello? Y'all can hear me. Okay, cool. So I got to figure that part out, too, because I got like a noise cancellation filter on here. But I just want to get into it, man. I was looking at some things, as you know, Diddy is in Santa Claus mode. Diddy has given back the publishing to his artist. He said, hey, I'm going to give y'all back the publishing after 20 or 30 years. He's given back the publishing at hip-hop being on his deathbed. Hip-hop is, I'm not going to say it's dead, but it's strongly on life support. Diddy decided to give those artists their publishing back. He's decided to give them their publishing back because he knows that there's no profit. There's absolutely no profit in their publishing. And then a lot of the music from those Bad Boy artists were heavily sampled. So you're literally giving them the publishing of the publishing of the publishing. He's given them the publishing back. A buddy of mine, I know, Mark Curry. Shout out to Mark Curry, who used to rap with Bad Boys. He wrote a book called The Dancing with the Devil in regards to P. Diddy. He had just spoke out saying that primarily these publishing, it's pretty much worthless. Most artists might make a couple hundred bucks a year. You know what I mean? I guess that is something, you know what I'm saying? But it just seems very, very much like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? And Mark was asking, well, why don't you just give us a couple million? Give us a million apiece and let's call it a day. And in that same breath, I saw that Diddy, he was on Earn Your Leisure, and he was talking about the deal he had with DeLeon or some, I forgot the group. DeLeon is a spirits and wine company. They're like the biggest distributor of spirits and wines. He did his Ciroc deal as well as his DeLeon tequila deal with this company. And they've severed ties after about 15 or 20 years. And Diddy is saying that in severing those ties, that this company is racist, that this is a racist company that marginalized his liquor brands in the name of blackness. And these are just evil, racist people. Now, if you know anything about Diddy with his Ciroc deal, Diddy became a billionaire with this company. Okay, I don't know what kind of racist, if he's experienced racism to make him a billionaire, I want to call that company and please give me a piece of your racism. Give me a piece of your racism. Like, everybody pulling the card of racism, and it seems like, you know, this guy's a black billionaire. There's not a lot of black billionaires. He's a super successful guy. But come on, man. People are poor, starving, hungry. There are real racial issues going on in the community. And I think that is a very, very low attempt to get some type of attention or to rally the troops. And I see right through it. I you know, my Virgo sensibilities, which will probably not be popular opinion, but my Virgo sensibilities tell me that this is all cap. Okay. I don't know. And it's also a slap in the face to our ancestors who really faced real racism. I mean, if you were to put Diddy in a time capsule and he shows up in the 1940s as a billionaire and he goes, man, this company, they won't show my liquor brand to other races, and they're racist as people are suffering through Jim Crow and coming fresh out of slavery. So I just don't know. I mean, he's on Earn Your Leisure rallying the troops, getting people to, I mean, what is really going on here? Now, this is what has happened. So in this is what he says. He says that he sent some people to Mexico. They did not see them growing any agave or something for his liquor, but they were growing it for everybody else. I don't know how you determine exactly, but I mean, because I'm thinking of a big crop. I don't know if they have a sign up that says this is for Patron, this is for Casamigos. And then there was just a spot that says Ciroc, and there was nothing there. I don't know, but he was saying they weren't growing the agave for his particular liquor. And they were racist, and they were only putting the Ciroc in black communities and black nightclubs. They weren't giving him the same deal. Now, in that same breath, all he talks about is he is culture. He I own a black tequila. I'm a black man. Black, black, black. He has marginalized himself, right? And then you don't want to be. So what is it? Like, what do you want to be black, or do you want it to go to the, which do you want? And so what was happening, and even though P. Diddy did build the brand of Ciroc up, you know what I mean? Like, he got him popping, had the sales. When he first entered the landscape of spirits as a celebrity, this was a landscape that didn't even have a lot of people. You didn't have a lot of celebrities. Now, when you look at the landscape of celebrities with spirits, there are thousands of celebrities, thousands of them, who are in the alcohol and spirits business. So it's pretty much become an overcrowded marketplace. And I believe that the Dejean, or whatever the name of that distributor is, you know, distributor is like a record label or something like that, but they're dealing with liquors. It's just overcrowded. And then, too, I believe that the demand for Ciroc has gone down. And I've never heard about anybody wanting any Deleon tequila. So at best, I'm going to say this case will be tossed. And it's very, very sad that he would come, you know, go so low as to make $1 billion with a company and all of a sudden call him racist. And I want to say this because I love my people, but you're an idiot as a black person if you believe that. If you believe that the people just gonna cut off everything just because, like, I make $1 billion, a billionaire, right? And this is what we do, because I'm guessing he didn't own Ciroc, but he was making like 50%. They gave him a deal, a partnership deal, where he literally got 50% of all the profits. But in this particular day and age with spirits and wines, a lot of these drinks are coming and going. You know, they popular for a minute. You know what I mean? And then, too, I don't necessarily, you know, I think some celebrities can do a good job. But I think, like, if you have a celebrity attached to a liquor brand, the liquor is only as popular as the celebrity at that period of time. So as Diddy's fame, you know, it's kind of waned and gone away with the times, and you have, you know, your Kevin Hart, George Clooney, you got a lot of these people with these brands. I think liquor is like an album or something, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody, like, it's 2023. Ain't nobody really asking for some rock in the club. I drink vodka. You know what I mean? I drink some Tito's and cranberry. I don't know a rapper or anybody that is a famous person that is the Tito's endorser. You know what I'm saying? And then 50 had that effing vodka, which was really disgusting. Effing vodka. What happened to that? You know what I mean? You know, of course, nobody drank 50's vodka. I think 50's a brilliant businessman, but nobody's drinking his vodka or really wearing G-Unit clothes unless you like a poor white trash person. So, like, that's pretty much all is wearing it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just think this is unfair for Puff to make these allegations and claims against this company. Because when it comes to big money, ain't nobody stopping no big money, man. You know what I'm saying? If your shit is selling, we want to continue this relationship. We want to make sure we're good. Now, another thing they said, too, with his Deleon tequila, they went in a deal with him where he actually outright owns that, and then they were partnering with him on the back end of that. But allegedly, the distributor invested about $100 million or X amount of dollars into the brand. Diddy only put up like $1,000. And then the thing too that I would ask, and I know a lot of people don't want to do things out of their pocket, but like with Kanye and Diddy, man, you know, if you're a billionaire, like, why don't you open your own factories? You know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot tell me you got about 13 black billionaires. With the success that you guys are having, you can't get on the phone with Oprah, Tyler Perry, Dangote Aliko in Africa to put a couple of bill together and just do your own distributorship, your own manufacturing, just everything from top to bottom. So That's all I'm going to say on that. Hopefully, you know, Diddy will work it out. Shout out to the Bad Boy artists. I mean, whatever, the $8 that you're going to get from the publishing, I hope it serves you. I really do. Because that shit, he squeezed all the juice out of that rock before he gave y'all that shit back. I don't know if he's meeting Jesus. I don't even know the reason for that. And I think I explained the publishing versus the masters in the last episode, but if there's somebody new, I'm gonna explain it again. So in recording contracts, your master recording is the actual recording. That is, you know what I'm saying? Like right now, these words that I'm saying, everything I'm talking, this will be my master recording that was recorded in this specific period of time, right? Now, the publishing would be the transcript of this podcast. Every word that I've said, everything that has come out of my mind, all the thoughts for this podcast would be the actual publishing. You see what I'm saying? So if somebody wants to sing a cover of your song, you would get the publishing. But who wants to sing the cover of Whoa? Who wants to sing the cover of 90s Bad Boys artists that, I mean, we were in a different space, different time, and I don't believe that this music is long lasting. So that's what I'm going to say. So right on the death of hip hop. Moving right along, man. There's been a guy who accused Barack of some gay activity, Barack Obama. This is rather unfortunate. Listen, I'm not about, like, I just can't believe, and this came from Tucker Carlson, but the background on this guy is horrific. This guy that is making these crazy accusations on Twitter against Barack, it's just ridiculous. This guy was a criminal, locked up, found guilty of perjury. It's that whatever. He said him and Barack mad, they smoking crack. I like, bro, I can't. I would never, as a black man, I'm not about to let y'all talk about the first black president. The only, maybe probably the only black president. It ain't no way. Y'all have had, it is literally 45-1. And I just think it's a little bit irresponsible on the part of Tucker Carlson. And I have a lot of conservative views, but I mean, come on, man, that shit a little bit irresponsible. You need to get more receipts. You need to really, like, this is some clown shit. It's like they paying him. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? I'm still not on topic. Mark Quay. I mean, he might have signed off on gay marriage, but still, man, those are some crazy accusations, bro. And I mean, if this guy was around, this is what's so ironic about these accusations, bro. This was the first black president. Okay, how much digging did they do on him when they saw his potential to win? They dug up everything they could, man. They didn't leave a stone unturned. So where was this guy in the running? Where was all this in the beginning? It didn't exist. And now you cut, like, it's ridiculous. And he and this man won 2 terms. And then he's twice removed from office at this point. So I just think it's bogus, and I do think it's a little bit irresponsible on the part of Tucker Carlson. Whatever your political views are, that's on you. I got my views. I'd be back. I'd be on one side and the other side. I think I'm more so in the middle. But that shit is just bogus. I mean, you know how many pictures, you know what kind of digging they would do on your ass? Were you running for president? Like, come on. They know everything. They know you took your first shit. They know when you walk, the first time you walk, your mama name, your daddy name. They know everybody in your family, bro. So you can't come out with this now and just try to distract from real issues that are going on. Because that's what they do. They throw out little crumbs and they want us to not see the real issues that we are currently facing. Before I get into this next topic, remember, check me out. I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. Y'all get those tickets, man. Tickets are moving. I just really, I'm praying that this is a good show. But y'all come on out to that, man. September 29th to 30th, I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. I've been going hard. And, you know, I just want to get a good show. Get love in Atlanta. Moving right along, LeBron James was spotted in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia now is getting into basketball. I don't know if you guys heard, but I believe James Harden was offered like $1 billion or something. I don't know if it's true, but he was offered a very hefty sum to play in this Saudi basketball league. They got the Saudi Basketball League. As you know, the Saudis have also gotten into golf, being LIV Golf, where they're paying golfers $1 billion. Now they're saying here, I don't know if this is true, because the Saudi league offered James Harden allegedly $900 million. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Let me see if they receive an offer. Okay. No. Now, okay, this is false. This is false. I take it back. It's just a rumor. It's just a rumor, but who knows? Amid all this commotion, offer from Saudi Arabia, yeah, because if he received a $900 million offer, he gone. Ain't no way. But there still is that potential. As the economy shifts more and more into globalization, there is still that potential that, I mean, the Saudis could take over. You got a lot of millionaires, billionaires moving to Dubai. It's a lot of money over there. You know, people, we more fluid now. People are able to work remote through the internet, through digital means. So, who knows? I mean, if they can offer that type of insane amounts of money and live golf. And not only did the Saudi Arabian golf, professional golf tournament, not only did they come to, you know, they're working and functioning, they purchased the PGA. So it's insane. I think it's LIV Golf. Let me see. Yeah, LIV Golf, LIV Golf. Let me put this on my. Yeah, they done bought the damn they bought the PGA, and Tiger Woods was trying not to sell out. But yeah, they got a PGA LIV Golf deal. So we are literally selling ourselves out. Look at that. I need to look at it like that, but let me put it down so y'all could see this. Yeah. So Senate panel tees up new hearing on PGA LIV Golf deal. Yeah, they done bought golf. And I guess they just gonna get together to buy golf, basketball, football, and baseball. I guess that is next. So if that's not true, if that's just, you know, on a rumor, if they bought golf, they're going to buy it all. Because as you know, a lot of these live events are really the shift in the culture. Like the live event has become, because we're so oversaturated with these apps, with TV and phones and streaming and this and that. I believe the live event has become very, very special, and that is just the new wave in entertainment and to globalize live events such as basketball, football, baseball, track, soccer, to globalize those. Understand there are 8 billion people on Earth. Okay, so if you can somehow globalize that or make it a way for all these people to come in these states, like the tickets are going to be outrageous. Not only will those tickets be outrageous, but when you buy the Google goggles, not the Google Glass, but those Apple goggles where you go into virtual and augmented reality, you will be able to sit front row at these games. So, it's just insane levels of money that can be made with this. Oh, King Smith, I'm glad you asked, when am I coming to the Bay Area? Because, brother, I will be at Tommy T's October 14th through the 16th. I will be at Tommy T's. So, yes, sir, I'm on the way, brother. I'm on the way. So pull up on me. Let me go back to this. All right. Another thing that's going on too, nurses, man, nurses are becoming the new indentured servants. And that was a article that hit close to home. As a former healthcare worker, that was a little bit scary to say the least. Let me pull that up. Nurses in debt. This really hit me, man. I was like, what the hell? I read this and let me bring it back up. So indentured, please get this off of my, hold on. Get that off of there. Right, indentured servitude nurses hit with hefty debt when trying to leave hospitals. Requiring nurses to repay for training programs has become increasingly common, with some hospitals sending these young ladies and young men from impoverished areas $15,000 bills, which is just disgusting because this is how bad healthcare is getting at this point. So when Jaqui Rum quit her nursing job at Los Robles Regional Medical Center last fall over the heavy workload and low staffing levels, it came with a high price, a $2,000 bill from her former employer for training costs. The payment was related to a contract Rum was required to sign when she took the job at Thousand Oaks California Hospital, owned by HCA Healthcare. Let's see what we got. Despite the agreement, Rum said she quit after 13 months because of physical and mental strain, citing staffing was so thin she was often unable to take even a 30-minute break during a 12-hour shift. This sounds exactly like retail pharmacy. We're being preyed on by someone in power with desperate for a job. We just got out of school. We don't know any better. She's 38 years old. Rum received 10 weeks of training and mentorship. It fell short of what she expected, given the $4,000 value the hospital placed on it. Some of in the in-person classes covered material she'd already gone over in nurse school that wasn't relevant. The practice of requiring payment for training programs aimed at recent nurse school graduates have become a critical comment in recent with some hospitals. Okay, $15,000 if they quit. So they want these nurses to pay back $15,000 if they quit or they're fired before their contract is up. Ridiculous, man. Hospitals say the repayment requirement is necessary to help them recoup the investment they make in training recent nursing school graduates and to incentivize them to stay amid a tight labor market. But some nurses say the system has left them feeling trapped in jobs and afraid to speak out about unsafe working conditions for fear of being fired and having to face thousands of dollars in debt. And I've been talking about this recently in regards to healthcare. Healthcare is the new blue collar work in America. And I don't want to just call it blue collar because, you know, everybody in the healthcare profession has to go through years of training, balance the chemical equations, learn about human anatomy and physiology. But this is one of the last cylinders that is a really controlled business where elitists and these insurance motherfuckers just take advantage of people. And that's what's happening. So, did I read that these training programs do not provide nurses with any sort of new qualification Rather, employers are passing on to nurses the cost of basic on-the-job training. So for on-the-job training, they putting a price on it. So I could train you to tell some jokes or whatever, or just train you on pharmacy, and I could make that price whatever I want it to be. I could say this is a $500,000 education. Crazy. And then they're using these contracts to lock nurses into their job or risk devastating the financial penalty. O'Neill, a regulatory policy special with national nurses, a labor group more than 200,000 members having that debt hanging over them means that nurses have a harder time advocating for safe conditions. Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't read this. I'm not going to sit here and read this all. But like I say, coming from a healthcare background, I'll be honest with you. They just don't have the staff. Like, nobody has the staffing. This economy is rapidly evolving. You know, you have more and more people being content creators. There's so many other ways to make money. People are making money from doing what they love to do. And I believe that our healthcare system is definitely imploding. And it's imploding and becoming impacted because of greed. Is because of greed. How dare you, healthcare administrator, sit your ass in the office making $400,000 a year working on the backs of physicians, nurses? It's ridiculous. So the system will continually erode. You're gonna have people quitting, walking out, because it's literally unbearable. And working in the profession, you don't really understand the pressure. Just like in retail pharmacy, you got a guy doing 1,000 fucking prescriptions, man. 1,000 prescriptions, vaccines, answering the phone, putting out fires with the technicians, helping them out. Question, supervisor coming. It's ridiculous. It's totally unsafe. And then what ends up happening, because you are a licensed professional, they use the license as a noose around your neck or a leash, and they tug on it, and they want to threaten your livelihood. And I'm just going to say to healthcare, y'all going to have to wake up, and y'all going to have to really, I mean, people work really hard just to get in those positions, and you guys going to have to really start to treat the employees better, pay more, give them some more help, do something. Something's going to have to be done because it's eroding. I'm just happy that I'm not sick. I'm thankful that I'm not in the system, but it's rough, man. And if you are in the system, God forbid, just take time out, man, and have empathy for those healthcare workers, for those pharmacists, for everybody that's in the system. Have empathy. And help them to help you. That's what I would say. You know what I mean? Because people under just ridiculous amounts of pressure. Moving right along, and this is the last thing before I check out of here. Krishan, the baby mother of Blueface. Oh, my goodness. The rapper. I've never heard any song from this guy. I don't know. Because, I mean, you typically discover rappers when they fighting on a reality show or when they get shot. That is the new AR marketing for rappers in 2023. You don't even know about them. Like every news article, rapper a little bed frame was shot and killed. And I'm like, dude, I never heard a song from rapper Little Bed Frame. I don't like who is this person? This is how you learn about these people. So this guy on the Love and Hip Hop, where, you know, they have people fighting to feed themselves. It's like I just really think we need to just get rid of reality shows and just bring back total sideshows, almost on the level of a Mr. Beast, where you just have a reality show. You get regular people, or homeless people, to do big stunts or fight each other or whatever for money. And everybody just sits around America in front of the TV eating chips and drinking and doing whatever they want to do and just watching this and laughing. Like, literally, that's literally, because, I mean, they have these people on these reality shows in these situations you know, like on the Housewives, you know, my wife watches that often. But you know, I sit in, every man, we don't like the show, but we don't have no, you married, you ain't got no wife, you gonna watch the shit with her, okay? So I see that they'll have Andy in the middle, and then he's sitting in the middle like a king, and then on his right side, all these women, on the left side, all these women, and their job is to fuss, fight, and argue. And he just sits there and laugh like, yes, bitches, make me more money. And as the words are coming out and they're fighting, I just see dollar signs. It's just like the shit is floating. It's blowing up. And Andy's just sitting there collecting money. And then he knows he can run this shit, you know, in perpetuity. But you just get a new group of bitches. You just keep cycling them out and out and out because people, for whatever reason, are entertained by fussing and fighting. Even with Married to Medicine, you would think these women with medical degrees, and look, this ain't no knock because some of my homegirls on there, this is no knock to y'all, get your money, but I'm saying, like, it even showed a lot of them with these high degrees, medical degrees, and they're super smart, intelligent black women, they're still fighting on the level of a project person. And it's just fucking crazy to me. It's bizarre. These are very, very weird times that we're living in. So with Krishan Rock and Blueface, they're this toxic couple. Like I say, I don't know any of this guy's music. I just see him, his face is tatted. It looked like he was working at Taco Bell or some shit, and somebody saw him like, man, we gonna turn you to a crib and you start rapping. And I have to say this too, because I have been talking about people on here. If you come for me, I will prosecute you. I will have you prosecuted. I will call the police. I don't want anybody to think I'm tough. I will go through great lengths to get your ass. All right. But So the guy, you know, does all this, then he's fighting with this woman who's missing a tooth. And I guess she's a rapper, MC too. They're in this total toxic relationship. And he's fighting their parents. It's just ridiculous, man. It's like a long ass episode of Cops, like when the cops go to the domestic dispute. But you keep seeing this couple and they're famous and shit. So she has this baby, and she has a boy. She had a boy, and she names the boy after her. Her name is Krishan. She named the boy Krishan. Now, I'm guessing, well, not a, I guess that's a unisex name, but goddamn, I ain't never seen no mother name her son after her. And what does that signal to us in society? My mama named Cassandra. What if my mama named me Cassandra? Am I a junior? What am I? What am I? And I'm not saying, listen, I know the different situations, but what would I be? What am I? A sister? What am I? I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Well, I'm going to leave you with that, guys. I don't really have anything else to say. Would y'all want to do some call-ins? Do y'all want to do some call-ins? Tell me in the comments y'all want to do some call-ins before I check out. We could do some call-ins and talk about some of the stuff I just went over. Would you like to do that, guys? Y'all want to do some call-ins? If I put this number up, y'all can call me. I ain't tripping. I ain't saying nothing wrong with it, but it's very, very weird. And also, this brother, while she was in the hospital having the baby, he was in the strip club watching it on live. He was watching his baby be born on Facebook Live. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Is there a way that, like, maybe a lot of these shows that we see, is this the new blackface, or am I tripping? Have we fallen in love with the new blackface? Is this shit all just circus and spectacle? Like, we just so entertained? Like, even if I go, if I do the hood, it was shit, goddamn, you know what I'm saying? Like, is this the real shit that we got down on some blackface shit out here? And we just be liking that shit, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, is that what's going on? Now, my brother say extremely wrong from an African perspective. It is wrong, you're right. Quiet kissing these new age women asses, hilarious. And my mama talking over here, too. So we not going to do no call-ins today, guys? Is this how y'all going to do me? Y'all don't want to talk to me? Hello? All y'all watching, don't nobody want to talk. So this is what we going to do? Y'all ain't right. Well, anyway, look, get those tickets, man. I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. Make sure you get those tickets. Come out to see me. We're going to have a good time. And on here, like, I just be liking to talk. Like, I don't know. I'm not about to be on here, like, being, like, funny and shit. Like, that's just not. I don't be liking shows like that. So, but anyway, y'all hit me up, man. This has been a great episode. Glad I got to sit and talk to you guys. I'm LeVar Walker. If y'all want to give some ideas on how I can make the show better, I am open. I want to bring value with these shows first and foremost. And that is it, guys. So what a great show. So I'm going to play my little, I got to do an outro. But listen, thanks for coming out. Good night. God bless.